Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, December the 29th, 2022. Here we are in between Christmas and New Year's and thinking about a new and fresh year. Donna Leland here for Mark and Friends. I'm your host on Thursdays. Today on Mark and Friends, Ethel Evans will share her story with us, where she came from, where she's been, and what has God taught her in the process.
I was born in Seals, Alabama. From there, we was on the farm. I don't know where that was, but it was in deep part of Alabama. I learned that I was conceived by rape. So when my mother got ready to leave the home, I was told that my granddaddy told her she wasn't taking me under no other man, and she had to leave me there with them. I don't know when I got to know she was my mother. There was time that I would see this lady. She would come and visit with us, and at visiting, she would say, are you going to sleep with me tonight? I said, yes. So I would go and get in bed with her. And as soon as I could hear her breathing loud, I would scoop down to the foot of the bed and slide out. She would always tell me, why did you sneak out on me? And I didn't know. No, I didn't.
You didn't know who she was?
I didn't know who she was. I wasn't going to. And she would tell, when she'd get ready to leave, she would tell me to come give me a kiss. I said, a kiss? She said, yeah, can I kiss you? And I would pull my jaw full, just as far as I could pull, and let her try to kiss me on the side of my cheek. And I did not understand it. But during that time, I grew up with my grandparents. I don't ever remember seeing them talk to each other, and they surely did not talk to me. I don't know how I got what I did, but no communication. And I won't say I grew up with them. There was no communication. So there was a time after my granddad, I was about 12 years old when he died, and he was my favorite. Oh, yes. He was really my favorite. And when he died, I wrote a letter for my mother and said all I had was gone. She kept that letter till she died. After he died, I had an aunt that come took care of us. She would come and get my grandmother's check. And that was time, even if I wanted a banana, the vegetable truck would come past. Grandmama didn't have the money to do it with. I was called lazy. Can you imagine a lazy person have to go next door, draw water out of a well, to cook, wash, clean, and every afternoon that was my job, to go get water and bring it. So they had tubs outside that I had to put water in for working with. And after I got older, could they really say I was lazy when I did that? I had to bring coals and wood in the house. In the morning, I would have to get up and start the heater where my grandmother could get up and make breakfast for me to go to school. I don't know. And now I can relate to all the things that I hear around the world today, because I think I've had a little bit of all of that stuff. Why didn't I tell somebody? I don't know. I don't know today why I didn't. But because my grandparents said we didn't talk to each other, so it was to me. My mother was living in Columbus, Georgia, just in a good walking, long walking distance from us. He went to my mother, and she signed a form for me to get married to him. Yeah. I got married to him. We wasn't boyfriend. We wasn't in love. We didn't really know each other. I didn't know anything about him. And just about every story I hear on TV now about different things about people, I can relate to it. I had 6 years and four babies. At the age of 21, I had had four babies. I had one stillborn. But he was that's not a name for it. He was very mean, very, very mean, very controlling. But he was so controlling, and he was so physically violent. But being who I am, and I didn't see anything, I never was around anyone to talk about no kind of life. I didn't know what to expect. I had to go to court for a whole year for trying to have my babies. And I didn't get them. My three boys. I went, his sister, she exposed me. I used to say she lied on me, but she did not lie on me. She exposed me because my family was bootleggers. The day that they took my kids out of my lap in the courtroom that morning, they sent my mother to prison that afternoon for bootlegging. But when they took my babies, then I got angry with God, because my grandmother used to tell me that the whole year I was going to court. She said, you don't have to worry about anything. God got it. You know, don't worry about it. And when they took my babies, I went to my grandmother and sit on the front porch, and I said, no. Where is God now? She said, well, he always have been, is, and always will be. She said, everything he do, and she said, everything that goes on in our life, God has a purpose and a plan in it. She said, and you'll see it. You'll see it by and by. I don't want it by and by. I want it now. I want my babies now. But you know what? Truly, that was the best thing could have ever happened in my life. When I went to Chicago, I was so angry with God. I didn't do anything for my baby to be removed from my custody. And I was just angry, and I went on and on. I was working, and I got my career. I got two careers. I got a business course, and I got nursing. And so there was, at some given time, when I was really sick, God instructed me to call all the people that had lied on me and did me wrong and ask them to forgive me for the thoughts that I had about them. I asked them to forgive me. I didn't do anything to them. They did it to me. But it kept coming to me over and over, and eventually I did. And I got up one morning, and the sky was brighter, and the grass was greener, and the sun was clear. And I used to use the word that it's a bright sunshiny day for me. It was, and I start living a little bit from there. But my heart, I had a heart problem for 2 years. It really wasn't a heart problem. They out of whole 2 years, they never were able to diagnose what it was. And God was conditioning me then. God was conditioning me then. And after I did what I was instructed to do, then I was in the hospital. Last time I was in the hospital about my heart, the doctor said, "We really need to do surgery. I don't know what's going on, but I don't know if it's your artery or your heart." He said, "But I really need to do surgery." Doctors all around the bed. I'm looking at, and I'm like, "They're gonna open me up and roam around in me, and they don't know what they're just gonna roam and look for something." No, I sit there, and after a while, he said, "Well, Ethel, regards to what it is," and she said, "Regardless of what it is, you only have a 50-50 chance of getting through it." And I looked at all of those doctors. I said, "I'll tell y'all what." They said, "What?" They lit up. I said, "Y'all just leave me alone. I take my fifth on God's side." So I wouldn't let them do surgery on me. I got through that. I had already had breast surgery because they thought I had breast cancer. Yes. And so God was just working with me because the thing was just really wild. And I was going to oncology clinic for checkup, you know, once a month. And after then, I went to the clinic one day, and the doctor said, "Ethel, I was taking 18 pills every day." That's I was on death row then. What is 18 pills doing? Knocking each other out? So when the doctor was examining me for my breast, he said, "Ethel, when did you get heart surgery?" And I said, "What?" He said, "When did you get heart surgery?" "So, doctor, I haven't had heart surgery." He said, yes, you did. I'm looking at the sky. I want to see this when I get home." And I got home telling people, and they like, "No, that couldn't be." I said, "Yes." Well, I forgot when I got home because the kids was there. And at some given time later, I started looking for that scar, and I didn't see it. I'm like, "Well, Father, he saw a scar. What was wrong with that man?" I said, "How come I can't see it?" It came to me that it would have been too much for me to behold if I had seen the scar, like the doctor saw. And I came up from under that, and he let me know. So after then, I start looking to God for my source. And he's been there ever since. He has opened doors, and he's still opening doors for me. Well, I'm going to give you the really bad part. I married 5 men, but I've been married 7 times because 2 of them I married 2 times. That's and here lately I've been thinking, because I'm like, why did I walk that route the way I went? I'm going to say I blame myself. I felt like I couldn't get along with anyone because I was into me in one way. And I didn't care about me in another way. What, do I just want someone in my life? That's not. And it came to me that I never asked God for a loved one. I never see where that loved one was. It was just, I just reach out and someone tell me they liked me, they wanted me. Okay, here I am. But we got to get married. I'm not going to hang out with you. So I did all that marriage. And here lately, so I'm married to God, yes. And God let me know that he was all I needed. He was my husband, he was my mother, he was my dad. And I didn't have to rely on anybody, and I don't now. That's it. And I'm just free, and I'm comfortable, and I feel good. I have really enjoyed myself, and I'm still enjoying. And I tell people, my children tell me I need to slow it down, I need to do this, I say, you know, if I stop by a lock, I'm not going there. God has given me everything I need. I would like to tell the young people nowadays that I taught my children when they was growing up, please do not let someone tell you how much a position pays, and you go for that. Don't get a job because of how much it paid. Think about it as you're growing up. What would you like to do? I mean, and pick your favorite desires for the job, even if it don't pay but half the price of the one that would pay a lot more. Because if you get a job for the money and it's rock and roll, you're not going to perform properly, and that wouldn't be good at all. Get a job for what you want, and you will, nobody have to even ride your back. You got it. And when I get ready to go any place, I will not speak to nobody before I speak to God in the morning. And when I get ready to leave home, I ask for his son's blood to cover me. Then I ask him to get in the driver's seat because I cannot drive without him. And someone told me one time, I said, I put God in the driver's seat when I leave him. So God get the ticket, right? I said, no, he prevent me from getting the ticket.
More faithful than the sun to rise, the stars to shine, the seasons change. You are. More certain than the moon to cast her light, the tides to turn again. Faithful Lord, never failing friend,
I want to thank my dear friend Ethel Evans so much for being so open and honest about her life, the hard, the bad, the good, and the good God behind it all. Everyone has a story, and if you sit with them long enough, maybe they'll share theirs with you. It's amazing what God can do just through an ordinary person and how He's used her in so many ways to heal the hearts of other people, to love on people, to be there for others, and just have that joyful presence when she walks into the room. Coming up tomorrow on Mark and Friends, he'll be featuring a message by Billy Graham called The Beauty of Time, a reminder as we enter the new year of how we can use our time better. Mark and Friends is heard Monday through Friday, 7:32 a.m. and p.m. and 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners. Heard on the WLUJ family of stations and great news media. Thanks for listening and have a great day.